Yo, welcome to the Flex Zone. It's your man, it's your boy, your host, your friendly reminder, Jay Henderson. And I'm here with international award-winning filmmaker, Mr. Aaron Avant Johnson. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for accepting that invite, man. We have been in the blender for a while now, you know, trying to get this show done, and we are finally here. So we got some really, really exciting news for y'all. Wherever you at, wherever state you in, wherever country you in, I hope that you are able to tap in. This is a very, very talented young man, very, very important to our culture and our history. He's done a lot of amazing things, starting at 9 years old when he started his own production company. So Aaron, I'm gonna give you a few minutes to introduce yourself and give our audience here a little bit about you.
Most definitely. Hello, everyone. And once again, man, thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate it. Hello, everyone. My name is Aaron Avant Johnson. I'm an international award-winning storyteller. I started my production company at the age of 9 years old. Starting from the age of 9 years old, I was a little kid with a little camera shooting everybody weddings and music videos and parties. And then that transitioned into me wanting to go into film. So I won my first award for my first short film at 13. And then I ended up doing a full-blown movie, a full feature at 16. And that film went over to London, and we won a couple of awards over in London, England for that film. And that film went very well. It did very well internationally. In between time of that, I'm also an author, a four-time author. Wrote my first book at 12, second at 14. I wrote a new book actually last year titled A New You Is Knocking, basically talking about how I lost 120 pounds naturally. So it's a real conversation piece about like our mind and our relationship when it comes to like our eating and health. And yeah, ultimately, I'm just a young man who just aspires to inspire other people. So yeah.
Yeah. So I want to give them as much as we can about you before we get into the hefty part of this conversation. So let's go back to age 9 when you started your production company. Back then, I could imagine you being such a young person, and you say walking around with those cameras, and now it's manifesting in a different way because you are doing so many and has done so many amazing things in the industry and for us as a people, for our culture. Where did this all begin? When did you realize that this was the thing that you wanted to do at 9? Because that's pretty early on for a 9-year-old.
It's very early on. You know what's funny? When I was eight, I wanted to go into acting. So for some reason, at a young age, I just knew I was going to end up in the entertainment space, I guess. But at 8, I was just like, I remember finding this acting class, and I was telling my parents, I want to go to this acting class. And, you know, me and my brother, we're drama kids, we're theater children. You know, we grew up in church singing and acting and dancing. So we've always been in the arts. So my brother went, and, you know, I remember we, you know, not tooting our own horn or nothing, but I remember we killed it and we got the standing ovation. And then after that, that was the only class I went to. I never went to another acting class, and I was heartbroken because my parents couldn't explain to an 8-year-old that, hey, you got to pay money for these classes. Like, this ain't for me. After that, I was just like, whatever. But at 9, my mom, she was trying to figure out like something on her laptop, how to create like a slideshow. So I was just like, you know, she wasn't getting it. I was just like, well, let me see if I can do it. So I remember I was just playing on there. And next thing I know, I figured it out. And I taught myself that entire program, that entire night. I was just up like a kid in the candy store. I was studying. I was figuring out everything. And I was just like, well, whatever this is what I want to get into. And I remember, funny enough, I remember we was in church. And it was a pastor who just came to our church for the first time. And I remember he told my parents, he says, don't invest in another toy for this young man. He says, invest in cameras, computers, and equipment.
Wow.
And he told them, he said, because he's going to be a filmmaker. He's going to be a movie director, and he's going to make movies. And that was at a very, very young age. And since then, my parents, that's exactly what they did. And all they just supported me through it. So, from then on, I created, my first film when I was 13, which was called Lost. And Lost, I turned that into a feature when I was 16. And I remember winning that first a festival because I didn't go there thinking I was going to win my category for this festival. This was my first project. I just went just to go. I was just like, okay, whatever. It was a nice little fun time. And I remember when they called my name for it, I was sitting there like, my film? Like, this first? Okay. So I remember there. And I remember saying like, wow, I think this is what I want to do. Because at this point, I'm not thinking filmmaker. I'm thinking entrepreneur because I'm working. I have jobs. I'm like, I literally was a working middle school kid. Like, I would leave. Matter of fact, I could tell you this story. I left school one day. I left school just to give you a perspective of how my middle school years was. I left school and I had to be on Miss Betty Wright's music video set. I was directing her music video at 13.
What? I'm a huge, huge fan.
At 13,
What?
13, I directed her music video at 13. I would leave school at like 12 o'clock, swing through a Wendy's. My dad would have all of the equipment in the trunk. We would come there. We'll load up all of the equipment. I'm running through the scenes with her. We're going through, and then it's just like I have to. Then I go home, go over all of the footage, and da 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 da. And I'm like, I'm working. Then I have to be up for school the next day. I'm probably in school for a few hours before I have to leave and go to another set. It got so bad, so the principal, like, he had to, like, him and my dad had to get like on the same page because he was just like, well, whenever he's in school, because then at that point I was also an author, so I'm traveling around, I'm speaking to different, schools, I'm speaking to different, churches and programs, I'm doing a lot of different television events and community events, so I'm. It was like a lot juggling, around that time.
That is a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. So, somehow, I just knew I had that niche of going into filmmaking. And then, that's what the path that God led me. And then when I turned Lost, and just to let you guys know what Lost is, Lost is a coming of age story about a young man who lost everything in his life. And we basically see him having to find himself, even though he's lost in the world. And we see him go from a young man to a teenager to an adult. And it's a very, very touching story. And I think what touched me the most, and I think too, what honestly kind of solidified this journey for me, even more at the time, was when this film went over there to London. It was a lady from Australia, and she sat there and she watched that movie. And I remember when she got up to talk about the film, she was crying and she had tears in her eyes, and she was saying how she related so much to our lead character because a lot of that she went through. Now, this is a woman of a total different nationality, total different. This is a woman across the world in a total and crying, literally crying in front of. And she wasn't the only one. It was another young man from Spain. It was another young woman that was in there from Turkey, and all these people came all and they. I was just like sitting there like, wow. So it really goes to show the impact of what storytelling can do, and I think that's who I really resonates with. Like, with
That's
these.
how you know when your work is ministry. People in London, since I started this show, people in London, I have three personal relationships now from the Flex Zone podcast with people in London. And they are so supportive. In Africa, I don't want to forget Africa, because I have four personal relationships now. And they are so supportive. When it comes to, I think because when it comes to the US, some of the things that most people consider luxuries, it's stuff that we may take for granted that they take way more serious in other countries, So when it comes to y'all please check out that film Lost. And you have he has another film too, but I'm gonna let him tell you about that. But that just lets you know, for me, it lets you know that your work is more than work, is actually ministry. When you are touching past what a person can see and understand and say, oh, that was a good show. You're communicating with their emotions and bringing out something that they can resonate with. So that's more like, to me, it's more like ministry. When you, a lot of people don't really understand ministry, the word itself and what it entails. You know, it's actually meeting the needs of the people.
Yeah.
You know, so I could tell you all day, I'm gonna pray for you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what am I actually doing?
Right.
To help you. So when you put out content like that and material like that and it resonate with your audience and you get that kind of at that age.
Yeah.
You out here accepting awards.
Yeah. Man, it was nothing but God. It was not. That's who I can just give a lot of things in my life. I can give glory to God because I remember I made a vow. I remember I was young. I believe this was right around the time. This was right after I came out of public schooling and I went into homeschooling. And yeah. This was the same year I was honored on BET for the 365 Black Awards that year Ava DuVernay and Marvin Sapp and everybody. So, and I remember I made a vow to myself. I said, God, I said, I want you to be able to do something in me to where I would do things I've never seen no one my age do, not for my glorification, but to show others that they can do it too. And I remember, and I think was, because I'm honestly, if I'm being honest, I'm in a space where I'm reflecting a lot on my journey because I've been in such a go, 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 go place where like a lot of things I don't even remember. And like it's in a space now where it's like my parents, they have to remind me of a lot of things.
You've been busy.
Like, you know, you've done this. Like we've gone here. Like I remember I made a comment to my dad the other day. I was like, I can't wait till I go to Texas. My dad said, you've been to Texas. I was like, oh, no, Texas. He said, Aaron, you had like two stops in Texas on the book tour.
You've been busy.
I was like, I ain't going to no Texas. He was like, you've been to Texas. And like and everybody know I've been to Texas but myself. So like, you know, now I'm in a space where, you know, I'm reflecting a lot and even giving all glory to God, being 17 at the time and being honored with my own day in city, you know.
Yeah, that's huge.
My film premiere for a 17-year-old, you know. That's why I say it. I don't take no credit for this. This is all
that's God, huge.
And this has been just a support and the backing of my parents, man. I have great parents. And then I have great people that support me, like everybody. And I never take it for granted. Everybody that like, share a post, that watch the film. I take all of that in because being a creator and a storyteller and really paving your own way and paving your own path is not necessarily easy all the time. So, you know, when you have the people that's like responding to your work, they're saying, no, like, I get it. I see it. And it's like, you know, then it's just like, it feels good because then it's just like, well, I'm doing something right. Like I'm doing something that's like, you know, I'm bringing you some type of entertainment that can distract you from all of the craziness that's happening in your day. You know, I can pull you away from, you know, what's going on back at home. I can pull you away from what's going on, whatever, and just give you that space where you can really just enjoy yourself, whether you're laughing, you're crying, you know, whether the emotion is you want to feel. So, you know, that's honestly why I really do what I do, you know, as far as a storyteller. So
so let's dive into I think you have such an interesting background. You wrote the book Never Too Young when you was 12 years old. What for a 12 year old, my boy just turned, I got one just turned, became a teenager, and one just turned 12, and the younger boys, you know, I don't even see them. If you're talking about a game, they may be some experts in creating some type of game. But what type of mindset and sustainability are you in at 12 years old to write a book? You wrote the book Never Too Young, and to me, I don't. Parents, let me say this to the parents first. Please take a moment. I don't care where you are. If you need some type of translation or whatever, please take the time to check out Lost and grab these books. I'm sure you could grab them online, or Aaron probably will share some information at the end of the show to let you know where to get them. But please, because we talk about the music now and how poison the music is when it comes to the minds of our kids and how drawn they are to this energy when it comes to the music world now. So I want to know what frame of mind were you in when you adapted that mindset to jump from production to an author? Not even, I'm sure you probably weren't even all the way developed, but to even just going to that mindset as a kid, as a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
What brought that on?
Man, you know what it is? I've always been a different soul.
Yeah.
And I say that in the most humble, humblest way. Because I've always been told growing up that I've always been like an old soul, or, you know, everybody would say, you've been here. You know, you've been here. Like, you went around the world a couple of times. And for me, it's just it was always a different drive of ambition. But also, it also reflects on my parents, because I honestly get my ambition from them. I grew up seeing the things that they achieve, the things that, you know, because my parents are pastors. So seeing all of things that,
my dad was a pastor.
Parents are pastors, and which that is even a whole thing within itself, because not to divert or change, but, you know, they went through their own, you know, set of scrutiny for supporting their kids that's going into entertainment, and it's not like necessarily following in their footsteps. So they have their own story to tell regarding, you know, our journey and everything of that sort. But, you know, seeing how ambitious they are, seeing, you know, things that, you know, all of that honestly feeds a young man. But then also, too, it's just the type of person I guess I just am. I've always been the type of person where I feel as if something somebody says that you can't do, I can do. Like we're going to get it. We're going to do it. Because I've always been a type, like, if you got God, man, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing nothing you can't do, you know. It's not but where we mess up is we get impatient.
Yeah.
The journey, we get weary in the journey. We want to give up, and it's okay to feel all those things, because I felt those things. Things numerous of times. You know, we was just having a conversation it had to be about 2 years ago. I was about to call this quits. I was about to wrap my hands up and like, okay, I'm done. I gave it enough of my years, because, you know, at that particular time, and I wasn't even in a good, you know, mind frame at the time, because, you know, as you know, industry is like this. It's very up and down, you know. And, you know, at that particular time, you know, I was looking at it like, you know, I you know, I've been working for X amount of years, like, you know, consistently, you know. And it was just I just need to, you know, I need to just wrap this up, you know. And it was other factors as well that was circling. But you know, you get those moments, but when it pulls you back, when something's pulling you, then it's telling you that you're not done, and it's not done with you. So
I was two months ago. I was in the hospital, and I got out and was at the barbershop and woke up with two, three people in the car. Got out the barbershop, and I called my fiance, and I was telling her I wasn't feeling good. This is two days after I got out the hospital, and I woke up, people standing around the car. One lady was standing beside the car, just praying. The guys from the ambulance behind the car, they taking my keys, they checking my breathing. I end up back in the hospital, and you know, it's just like, I was just like, man, you know, like at that point to where, you know, what I always say, what am I doing? I never question God. I always say, I'm not doing something right. And then I realize sometimes people misappropriate God's shift with an attack. Sometimes when God is shifting, if you're not tuned in to yourself spiritually, you confuse that with an attack, and you start moving wrong. Mm-hmm. You start planning wrong. You start thinking wrong. not knowing that the work that we has put in, it's we got sometimes we don't know that we've gotten comfortable on that level.
Yep.
We've been in this place so long, and that work that we are that we've put in, God says it's time to elevate. But then going through your elevation process, it was just like starting. You're gonna hit some hills and some rocks, and it may be uncomfortable, but this is a shift. It's not an attack, you know. And we have to be into ourselves spiritually, and like you said earlier, is the one thing that you said since we started talking is God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Yeah, whenever God's not getting the glory, then whose project are we working on? Whose time are we working on? Whose purpose are we working on if God isn't getting the glory from what we're doing? You know, so man, you are way, way beyond. You're way beyond your age. and I commend your parents. I commend your team and everything. You could tell that everybody around you is a reflection of who you are and what you represent. And you represent your team and your parents really, really well. I don't know your brother, but I'm sure that it's not far from where you are. So
brothers, and they are absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
I can imagine.
Yeah, my oldest brother, he's a musician actually, singer. He's actually performing at the event on Sunday. So y'all will get to see him do his thing. I have my younger brother who is just a literal clone of my dad. Like he's a literal a jokester. Yeah, just a big kid, literal clone of my dad. So
let's dive into the future. I was trying to pace the show, but let's dive into the future. You have a really, really huge event coming up Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really huge event. Some amazing, amazing people. That's going to be a part of this event. I don't even want to get into how you arranged it, because I know when you create these types of shows and events, it takes so much time and so much energy. But when you're doing what you love, I heard somebody say that it's not work.
Come on,
right? So let's get into this event. What inspired this event? That's one of the first things I want to know, because this is such an amazing event. It's so honorable. And my show is a multicultural show, but I also lock in on our culture and our people. And you know, we provide education, information, and resources. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping that some young person is watching this and some young person gets to see exactly what Aaron has done and where he is now in this event that's coming up Sunday. It proves that hard work does pay off. So what inspired this event?
Right. What basically inspired me to do this event, you know, a lot of times being in this business, I feel as if a lot of people go unappreciated.
Yeah.
And a lot of work goes unappreciated because, you know, being in this business, you know, you think if you don't reach that Oscar stage or that Emmy stage, or if you're not up there receiving that BET award or that Grio, that your work is invalid or that you haven't done anything, you know, and that's not true. You know, it's a lot of people that has impacted our business, that has impacted our industry, and it's going to continue to do so. And that's why I decided to do LCC, was to honor these people, was to honor the ones that are in. Like, for an example, I look at it like this. You know, you got to give people their flowers while they're still here. Because how long it took the Oscars to honor Angela Bassett after an amazing track record of decades upon decades of work and achievements. Like, she should have been had an Oscar.
Yes.
All of these great, like, so it's like, let's not wait to give these people their flowers. Let's not wait to honor these great people. So, you know, that's pretty much what inspired this event. And I'm so excited for this event. It's a really big event. I'm not even, if I'm being honest, it's a lot bigger than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it is.
A lot bigger than what I thought it was going to be. you know, because initially, you know, I'm still new here. So I'm still new to Atlanta. I'm still new to Georgia, you know.
Me too.
So, you know, I was like, we don't really know too many people. So I was like, you know, so the first event we did in January, and we got, it was a very nice venue. It was the Creators Clubhouse. Very nice. I recommend to everybody. Great people. And I think we had like 70 chairs on the floor. And we was just like, oh, that's more than enough. We ain't gonna need no more than that.
Yeah.
Room was maxed out. So we was just like, okay. So we was like, we're gonna have to move. We got to figure out something. So, you know, we had to move to a bigger venue. And even now, you know, the guest list grew and grew and grew to the point where we had to add an additional like wall. So I was just like, yeah, it's a lot more people there than I expected. So, you know, it's a very humbling feel. Because seeing all of these great people that, you know, because I'm like, y'all coming to our stuff? Okay. Because here's the thing now. You're going to have a great time. We're going to have a time. You know, we're going to say, if anybody's from Miami, and if you ever gone to any of the Aaron Avant Johnson productions, they can tell you, it's a time. It's a time.
Yeah.
So we're going to, it's almost like bringing the Emmys to Douglasville. So this is.
Oh my gosh.
So it's going to be a great, great, great event. It's going to be a great time.
Can you, I don't know if you can, if you can't, then it's cool. Can you give a little bit of the list? I know you got some surprises, but.
Yeah. So I will give the ones that was already said before.
Yeah.
We have, of course, the mayor. The mayor's, she's going to be there. Mayor Rochelle Robinson. Force MDs. For y'all who remember Tender Love. Tender,
oh my gosh.
Love so tender. Holding me close. So Force MDs coming. It's some more people, but I am not going to say them because if I say them, we ain't gonna have no space. So I ain't going there. But
so it'll just be a surprise.
Yeah, they're coming. And it's a lot of great people. We have a lot of great media. It's going to be a grand time. It's going to be a time to remember, and something that I love when we do LCC. Is the response after. I remember when we did the first one, everybody just kept saying how they were on a high for like that entire week. And I was just like, wow. They was just like, I'm still thinking about the event from Sunday. I was like, what? Wow. So it's like, it's humbling. And here's the thing. I take credit for my part and what I
did. Yeah.
But listen, this has been overseen and done by the amazing Mrs. Johnson, my mom, the event coordinator, because, you know, we work as a team production company. So, this is what she did for many years. So honestly, all of the special touches and it's all her. Y'all are going to see. So,
we appreciate you, Ms. Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm so excited, bro. And I myself and my team, you know, we appreciate the opportunity because this is we've done some pretty amazing things. But I think this is like one of the bigger events that we'll get a chance to be a part of. So I'm excited. I'm excited to have had the opportunity to bring you on the show. You've done so many amazing things. And to give a person their flowers is so minute. But it's an honorable thing. That's the least. That is the least we can do when you've covered at your age, when you've covered so much ground, you've been awarded. Y'all would have to read this biography. To see, we didn't even touch the surface.
And I humbly say this: remind me of some because I don't remember. I promise you, my memory have gotten. I said, Lord, where has my memory gone? Because
you wrote another book at age 14.
Like I was just like, I did that. I'm like, not to prolong it. We was just having this conversation the other day, And somehow we talk about the Delta sorority.
Yeah.
And my parents had to remind me, you was honored by the Delta sorority. You have an award by the Delta sorority. They honored you. And I think I was like,
what? My sister's a Delta.
Yeah. They honored, it was at the this was hosted, they had to remind me, but it was hosted in Miami. I believe like the Lyric Theater, if I'm not mistaken. And they honored me at 16 with the Delta sorority. I forgot what the name of the award was, Lord forgive me. And then it was another something that happened in Baltimore. And I was just like, I remember I said it.
Let me go on and speak this. Get ready for your Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh wow.
Get ready for your Lifetime Achievement Award. You are one of the unique people that we were blessed to have. That sets that tone for our younger generation. You know, like I was born in the 70s and things have changed so much. The younger generation has changed so much since I was a young person, since I was in my early 20s. But I want to say, bro, get ready, prepare yourself mentally, spiritually. It's already there, bro. And I can see it, because of your dedication, because your love for God. And a lot of people try to look over that. A lot of people, they hit that height of success to where they kind of push God on the, we can't do that. No matter how far we go in life, no matter how high our achievements range, God still gets the glory.
Absolutely.
And that's the one thing that you have said. That's the one thing that you manifest. And I'm honored to have the opportunity to share this moment with you, bro. I'm not in a hurry, but I did want to keep it to a good time frame. Before we go, mm-hmm. I want you to give our younger generation some inspiration from the age of 8 years old when you first began, before you started your production, up until now. Something that may gauge them to not give up, to keep God first, to make sure that God is getting the glory, and to know how important it is to have the right people around them. If you can, just get into that camera and talk to them for a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And once again, man, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you for having me on your show, man.
Yes, sir.
And what I'll say to those young kids is, you know, when I started that young, I really had a made up mind, and I knew at a very early age that this was the path that God was leading me and setting me on. Because in this path, I found a version of myself that wasn't as, I don't want to say broken, but wasn't as, depressed. Or wasn't as, you know, dealing with a lot of the humanistic things. Like, you know, when I was on this path, it was like, God, I know this is you, because doors was just like, it was just opening. None of my, and I never take credit, none of my will, but all of God's favor. And what I would say to them is, first, trust in what God put in you. Whatever that gift is, trust what God put in you. And I never believe that God put something in us that he doesn't want us to use. He wants us to use it, and he wants you to use it. Another thing is trust in yourself. A lot of times we are quick to, you know, lean on the words of this person, that person, and this person. And a lot of times, you know, they may project, not necessarily out of bad intent, but they may project, you know, their fears or their doubts or their. So now all of that is clouding the very thing that God put in you for you to do. So a lot of times you can't listen to what everybody say. You got to go to the man upstairs, and you have to revisit what he put in you and what he said. And another thing is, do not get weary in the wait. While you're waiting on it, while you are in your waiting point of your life and your waiting season, don't get weary in the wait. Another thing is, get up and move. You got to get up and move. Listen, the thing is you will never get to your destination being stagnant. See, listen, I'll tell you this. A person that is walking a person that is a walk in their trail, and they're taking, they may take their time. They may not be walking as fast. You know, they may be taking a nice stroll, but at the end of the day, they're going to reach their destination when at the appointed time. So, but the thing is, you got to get moving. You got to get movement. You can't sit down and just think it and dream it, but you got to put it in action. You got to allow God to lead and guide your steps as you continue to lead and you continue to grow and you continue to move, because he got you. He got you. Yeah. He got you. Listen, and something I always tell everybody, he bought you through worse. You've been through worse. So don't be scared to go through this. So that's what I'll tell everybody out there. So hope that.
Man. Oh my God. That kind of remind me of this theme. I live my life by this. It always blow my mind when a car come flying by me real fast, and then I pull up at the stoplight and pull right beside that car. It always blow my mind. And I said that to say this, people. Sometimes people will fly past you, And it looked like they are actually going somewhere, but we are all on the same journey. We're all on the same journey. We may have different paths, but we are all on the same journey. And when you have somebody that has done something that you aspire to do or something that you would like to take a shot at, listen, this is a prime example, great young man, a great, great example. And I want y'all to listen. I want y'all to pay attention. I want you to understand, bro. I'm so, so honored again to have you in the Flex Zone. Tell my audience where they can find you at, on all social media platforms.
Most definitely. Everybody, you can find me on all of my social media at Aaron Avant Johnson. Yes, it is my full government name. So, you know, can't get in no trouble out there, you know. So Aaron Avant Johnson, all across all social media. And my website is aajpfilms.com. Once again, it's aajpfilms.com. And I also employ everybody, please sign up for the mailing list, because we are doing a lot of great things. Literally right after this event, we have a lot of great workshops coming up. I'm casting for another movie, and we got a lot of great other great things that's happening. So when you sign up for the mailing list, you get first notifications to everything before anybody. So, you know, definitely you want to do that. And yeah, I just look forward to you guys, you know, joining the little community we got over here, you know, because what I like to say, we make magic. So, you know, we all magic makers. So we're gonna do some great things.
Yeah, I appreciate it, bro. Y'all tune in. Please tune in. Subscribe. Check him out. Don't forget to check out Lost. The event Sunday, a lot of media, a lot of press, a lot of amazing people. So y'all, please, please be on the lookout for that. As I always tell y'all, I can't say it enough. Shout out to Riverside. Shout out to Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Google, everybody that give our voice an opportunity to be heard in the world. Shout out to all of my listeners, I'm so proud of y'all. I appreciate y'all. Even through this whole ordeal, the show is still streaming really, really good. And to all of our family, we don't have followers and listeners, to our Flex Zone family, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all, bro. We got more work to do. We got more work to do. I'm glad we got this done, but the next interview will be in person, and hopefully we could do it live. I hope that we could get you over in a studio over in Atlanta and most, get a chance to meet some great people.
Yeah, let's make it work, yeah, man. We'll make it. Most definitely.
Yeah, we got some really, really amazing people over there. That I think I'm new. I've been here almost running into 2 years, and in that short time, Atlanta, Ackworth, Marietta, all of those places have jumped up in my top 10 streaming. So we have some really, really amazing supporters here. So I hope that we get a chance to get over in the studio over in Atlanta and get you to meet some, even make your network even bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
most definitely. I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I appreciate it, bro. So we're going to wrap up. Again, you've been in the Flex Zone. I love you. I appreciate y'all. Bro, I'll contact you here in a little bit.
Yes, sir.
This show will be streaming tomorrow. It will be streaming. We'll run an ad today, but it will be streaming tomorrow. I appreciate you, bro. And let's link up again. I'll hit you up here in a little bit.
Most definitely, man. Thank you for having me. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We appreciate it.